to the book of Hosea, book of Hosea, chapter 14. There's nine verses in this chapter, and we like to read all nine verses. Hosea, chapter 14. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us, will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel, he shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. For me is thy fruit found. Who is wise and he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. The ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But transgressors shall fall therein. Tonight's message could be 20 minutes long. It could be 2.5 hours long. I don't know which, but there's more chance of it being 2.5 hours than 20 minutes, I'll tell you that. Hosea was a contemporary of Amos in Israel, which of course was the northern kingdom. Also a contemporary of Isaiah and Micah. They of course were prophets to Judah, the southern kingdom. Hosea ministered during a time when sin permeated the lives of the people. Hosea is somewhat of an unusual book because we know that it begins in order to illustrate the condition of the people. At the command of God, Hosea was to marry a wife. Her name was Gomer. And she would be unfaithful to him. And this would illustrate the relationship between God and Israel. He was to take this wife, and she would love other men, commit adultery, deliberately leave him, that is Hosea, for the pleasure and for the wealth that she thought that these other men would give to her. The whole point was that just as Gomer ran after other men in an adulterous way, so Israel was guilty of running after other gods. Israel's spiritual adultery is illustrated by Gomer's physical adultery. And Hosea, though heartbroken, the fact that his wife would leave for other men, he would continue to love her
And he would eventually bring her back to him. Again, a picture of the Lord.
But his circumstances that God would bring into his life gave him the opportunity to speak God's message. And the message was that Israel treated God the same way that Gomer treated Hosea. Yet God continued to love Israel just as Hosea continued to love Gomer. And just as Hosea would call for his wife to return, so God would call for Israel to return. So throughout the book, Israel's sin is viewed in the light of God's love, God's favor, God's faithfulness. No matter what light you view sin, it's filthy, it's vile, it's wicked. When you view sin in the light of God's love, when you view our unfaithfulness in the light of God's faithfulness, to me it takes on an entirely different picture. The book of Hosea is really a story of one-sided love. It's a story of one-sided faithfulness. Sad to say, that pictures our lives many times. A one-sided love, God loving us. A one-sided faithfulness, God being faithful to us. So Hosea was one of those prophets raised up by God to call the people back to God. And the final chapter, one that we've just read, contains what the people were to do in order to return, and what God would do if the people would return. So we're going to speak tonight on the subject of backsliding, healing for the backslidden. The condition of the people is illustrated and declared throughout the book. And as we look at their condition, we get a pretty good idea of what it means to backslide. In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, in verse 6, we'll just read these verses and not comment on them in order to save time, but let them sink into your heart and mind what Israel was guilty of at this time. In Hosea 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge." The latter part of the verse says, "Thou hast forgotten the law of thy God." Verse 12, about halfway down in that verse, it says, "The spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err." There's a message to be preached on the spirit of whoredoms. In verse 15, "Though thou, Israel, play the harlot." In verse 17, "Ephraim is joined to idols." Verse 18, "They have committed whoredom continually," spiritually speaking. Chapter 5, verse 4, "The spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord." God, he's speaking to his people. He's not talking to the heathen. He's describing
his people. In verse 7, they have dealt treacherously against the Lord. Verse 13, we read of Ephraim's sickness. Then went Ephraim to the Assyrian. That is, they went to the world for help. In chapter 6 and verse 6, the knowledge, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. In other words, they, I said I wasn't going to make any comments, but in other words, they continued their religious practice even though everywhere was a spirit of whoredoms. They were going through the motions. Verse 10, we read again of the whoredom of Ephraim. In chapter 7 and verse 8, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned or half-baked. In verse 11, Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They called Egypt. They go to Assyria. That is, they were depending on everybody but God for help. Verse 13, woe unto them, they have fled from me. Verse 14, they have not cried unto me with their heart when they howled upon their beds. So their sin brought much weeping into their lives, but they did not cry unto God. They assembled themselves for corn and wine. That is, they assemble themselves for pleasure, and they rebel against me. Verse 15, though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. Verse 16, they return, but not to the Most High. They go through the motions of returning to God, but they never do truly return to the Most High. Chapter 8, verse 3. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. Verse 4, they have set up kings, but not by me. That is, not according to my will. We read in the latter part of verse 4, their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Verse 9, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Verse 9, for they are gone up to Assyria. Last verse was verse 7. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Again, whoredom. Verse 11, because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin. Verse 14, for Israel hath forgotten his maker. Chapter 9, verse 1, for thou hast gone a-whoring from God. Thou hast loved reward upon every corn floor. Chapter 10, verse 13, ye have plowed wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies. Chapter 11, verse 3, but they knew not that I healed them. Verse 6, we read that they will be devoured because of their own counsels. Verse 7, my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. Chapter 12, verse 1, Ephraim feedeth on the wind, that which is vanity and empty. Chapter 13, verse 2, and now they sin more and more, have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. All of it is the work
of the craftsmen or of their own hands. Verse 9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But in me is thine help. As you read through the book of Hosea, you see a people that were in terrible shape. God's people. People loved by God. He sums up their whole condition. In verse 4 of our text, he refers to it as backsliding. The very word backsliding ought to immediately get our attention. And it ought to fill us with a sense of fear. It's a word that simply speaks of going backwards spiritually, losing ground spiritually. But it's not merely just going backwards. It's sliding backwards. Now, when you're sliding, that implies that there is a loss of control. So it's not just going backwards. It's going backwards, but it's out of control. It's sliding. It's almost like it's something you cannot stop. There is a loss of control. The word backslider occurs once in the Old Testament, Proverbs 14, verse 14. The word backsliding occurs 12 times, 9 of those times being in the book of Jeremiah, and the other 3 here in the book of Hosea. The word backslidings in the plural occurs 4 times, all in the book of Jeremiah. But each time we see these words, it speaks of sliding backwards spiritually. There are many who are backslidden. There are some who claim to be backslidden. I've got news for you. Some of those are lost. But the danger of backsliding is real for every single child of God. And therefore, it is a word that ought to greatly alarm us. I can slide backwards every single day. If I am not careful, I will slide backwards. That ought to cause us great concern. Now, the Lord states in Hosea 11 and verse 7, He says, My people, those whom I've loved, those whom I've loved with an everlasting love, those whom I've purchased, those whom I have saved, my people are bent. That is, they are strongly inclined to backsliding. That is true of every single one of us. We are strongly inclined to backslide from God. Now, all backsliding is a departure in the heart from God. And you will backslide in heart before it will be manifest in your life. Because many
backslide in their heart, but like Israel here, they continue to go to the altars, they continue to offer sacrifice, they continue to go through the motions of worship, but they all along they were playing the harlot. They were backslidden in heart. There is in our nature a tendency to backslide from God. Add to our tendency the infestations of Satan, the infestations of the world, and the danger of spiritual declension, the danger of spiritual decline is great. And that ought to concern us. That ought to concern us enough every day that we guard against it. That we watch against it. We're not in danger of just occasionally backsliding from the Lord. In Jeremiah 8 and verse 5, we read of a perpetual, that is an ongoing backsliding. And in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 6, we read their backslidings are increased. Their backslidings are increased. The truth is, if you begin to slide backwards and you don't stop it, it's going to become perpetual. It's going to increase. It's not just going to level off at some point. In Jeremiah 14 and verse 7, we read, "For our backslidings are many," which means there are many areas in which you and I can backslide. So we're always in danger of backsliding. And the danger is real. The danger is real for each and every one of us. There may be some here tonight that are backslidden. But even if we were all right with God, the danger is still real. That you and I would backslide. And that our backsliding would become an ongoing thing. And that our backsliding would increase. So it's a very dangerous thing. So what is backsliding? We've got a pretty good picture of it at reading through Hosea. But really, it is to turn from God in any area of your life. Whatever it is. We read in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 27, "For they have turned their back unto me and not their face." Which is it today? Are you facing the Lord with your face? Or are you facing the Lord with your back? They have turned their back unto me. So it's to turn back from God. It is to forsake the duty that we owe to Him. Galatians 4 verse 9, it is to be turned again after the world. That is, instead of walking in opposite directions of the world, we're walking hand in hand with the world. That's backsliding. That is turning your back on God. That is departing from God. That is walking contrary to God. And again, we may not have reached the point where we're doing that in every area of our life. But it starts in one area. It always starts in one area. But it never stays there if you don't stop it. It is to depart from God, as we've already said, in the heart. It is described in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32 as a forgetting the Lord. And in Jeremiah 2 verse 36 as a gadding about. Many are guilty. Just gadding about. It is to build again the things once destroyed. As Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 18, he said, "For if I build again the things I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." It is to build those things that you once repented of. It's to go back to the things that you once repented of. It is to be entangled again in the affairs of this life. As Paul talked about in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4. Anyone who wants to be a good soldier must not entangle himself with the affairs of this life. And that doesn't say that we must not be entangled. Certainly that is true. But we must not entangle ourselves. It's something we willfully do. It's something we bring into our lives. Backsliding is to be led away with the error of the wicked. It is to fall from our own steadfastness. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. It's possible. It's possible to be steadfast one moment and fall the next. We read in chapter 14 in verse 1 here of Hosea, "For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity." Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity, by your own sin. You have fallen, he is telling them. So all backsliding is serious. It's not only serious, but it's very, very dangerous. Every time you and I backslide, we are in danger of ruining our lives. We're on that road. Thank God for His mercy. Amen. Thank God for His grace, His long-suffering, His forbearance. But I'm telling you, when we backslide, we're on a road. Unless God intervenes, we are on a road that will lead to ruin, that will lead to destruction. Not only is it dangerous, it offends God. It's offensive to God. It grieves the Spirit of God. Every time you turn your back to God in whatever area of your life, you have offended God. You have grieved the Spirit of God. You can continue to go through all the motions, but when you turn your back to God, you have offended. You have offended God. And as we said, this is a story about a one-sided love, a one-sided faithfulness. And when to offend God, to grieve the Holy Spirit, is never a trivial matter. Never. It's always serious. It's always dangerous. And you can be sure of this, that no matter in what area you backslide, and no matter to what degree, and certainly there are degrees, and no matter to what degree, it is serious. And it is a dangerous thing. It is becoming very prevalent today for God's people to compare themselves with others, other children of God. And they look at their lives and say, "Well, I may not be what I ought to be, but I haven't gotten that far yet." No, but you're on your way. And you always look to somebody that you think is worse than you. The truth is, they may not be. But those that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. The wise thing to do, as soon as you backslide, get right with God. Stop it. Stop right where you are and get right with God. Because it is a dangerous thing to let it continue. We can slide backwards in our prayer life. And that is no trivial matter.
That is very serious. That is very dangerous. And it will not stop there. You begin to slide backwards in your prayer life, it's not going to stop there.
It's going to increase. You may backslide in confessing Christ.
Perhaps at one time you didn't have any problem telling somebody about the Lord, but now you're very, very hesitant. You've backslidden in that area of your life. Maybe it's Bible reading. Maybe it's Bible study. We slide back in these areas. And it offends God. Don't you think that it offends God when you don't want to talk to Him? You get offended if someone doesn't want to talk to you. Don't you think it offends God when you don't want to read His Word or you find other things more important than the Word of God? Don't you think it offends God when you find other things more important than the house of God? Well, God understands. Then explain it to Him. And you tell me if He's not offended. It offends the Lord. It's offensive. It's offensive to those who love the Lord. But that's not what's important. It's offensive to God. So when we backslide in prayer, when we backslide in our Bible reading, or we backslide in church attendance, that's no small matter. And I guarantee you, when it comes to backsliding in church attendance, that's not the first step. You've already backslidden in several other areas before you get there. And when you get there, you're on a dangerous road. Because you're starting now to remove hedges that God has put around you. You're now starting to remove hedges that God has put around your family. And you better thank God for the hedges that God puts around us every single day. And never ever try to remove one of those hedges. Backsliding is always a sliding down. You don't slide up, you slide down. You don't slide uphill, you slide down. And it's serious and it's dangerous. Because backsliding in one area will never, ever stay confined to that one area. Even if it did, it won't. But even if that was possible, it's still the path of ruin. But one backsliding leads to backslidings, and maybe even perpetual. I know. I don't have to talk to you about it. I can see it. There are those who are in that stage, perpetual backsliding. It's a dangerous thing. It's harmful. It's destructive. In fact, in our text, the Lord presents it as a disease. He said, I will heal their backsliding. That is, I'll make it whole. The word heal implies restoration. Implies mending, relieving, setting right. Implies to repair, to correct. Alleviate. The very word heal implies that something's wrong. The very word. So if He heals backsliding, every time we backslide, and again, it doesn't matter what area, something's wrong. Something is out of order. Something is not right. It's a disease. It's a disease that brings terrible consequences.
We read in Jeremiah 2 and verse 19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God. All backsliding is evil. That means it's sinful, it's wicked. It's bitter. It means it's distasteful. It's distressing. It's shameful. It's unpleasant. It's painful. It's sorrowful. And it can be very regretful, even if you repent. And the Lord heals. There can be lifelong scars that'll never go away. And it starts with one time turning your back on God. And we're all in danger. We've all done it. Backsliding will fill us with our own ways. Proverbs 14 and verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Oh, the individual that's filled with their own ways, you're in trouble. You're heading down a road of ruin. You're heading down a road of destruction. When we begin to do things our way, it can lead to the loss of God's presence, his protective presence. Numbers 14, verse 43, because you're turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. We know God's omnipresent. So this is talking about his special kind of presence, his protecting presence. It also results in the loss of God's favor. We read in Jeremiah 15 and 6, thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward, therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee. You're in trouble when God's hand's against you. I tell you what, nothing's going to go right. And all the time, people say, I don't know why everything goes wrong. Well, maybe you better take a good look at your life. Maybe God's hand is against you because you've turned your back unto the Lord. Backsliding will eventually lead to spiritual coldness. Will lead to man-centeredness, result in a loss of spiritual strength, will result in a loss of zeal, a loss of peace, a loss of assurance, a loss of joy. And eventually, there will be guilt. Guilt's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to live with guilt. It's a miserable thing. Eventually it brings shame. It brings darkness. And defilement begins to take possession of the backslider's heart. The backslider will no longer be holy, no longer be humble. He will cease to watch. He will no longer be spiritually minded. He'll be earthly minded. He'll no longer be able to resist many temptations that come his way. I'm telling you, it's a dangerous thing to turn away from God. It's a terrible plague. It is a plague that requires healing. And if you are backslidden tonight, you need a healing that only God can give.
and nothing else. Nothing else will do. And that's what our text is about. We see here the remedy for the backslider. And thank God there is a remedy. And we read it here in verses 1 through verse 3. He says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. That's mercy. That God would even allow us to return. They played the harlot. They were unfaithful to God. And just like Hosea said to Gomer, you can come home. God says, I'll take you back. That's grace. That's mercy. He goes on in verse 2 and he says, turn to the Lord. And this remedy is repeated throughout the Word of God. Hosea 6 and verse 1, we read, come, let us return unto the Lord. Hosea 10 verse 12, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. And if you're backslidden, it is time to seek the Lord. It's time to return. It's time to turn your face to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 30 verse 6 says, ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord. Isaiah 31 verse 6, turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. They have deeply revolted, but God says, return. Return unto me. Jeremiah 3 verse 12, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am a merciful God. But you have to return. And I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. You're in a heap of trouble when God's anger falls upon you. In Jeremiah 31 verse 4, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord. In Jeremiah 3 verse 22, return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. The remedy is repeated over and over and over again, and it is always the same. Return. It's never different. And it will never be different. No matter what area you backslide in, no matter how long you have backslidden, no matter how multiplied the backslidings are, the remedy is this: return. That's the remedy. You're not going to get better by running from God. You're not going to get better by trying to hide from God. You're only going to get better by returning. That's the only way. So in every area of your life in which you've slidden backwards spiritually, you need to return. There is no other remedy. There is no other way to be healed. There is no other way to get better. You must return. We're stubborn. And we try and try and try to do it our way to get right. There's only one way that's going to work. And that's return. Return unto the Lord. And if you refuse that remedy, you will continue to backslide. We read in Jeremiah 8 and verse 5, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? And then he gives the answer to that question. They hold fast deceit. In other words, they will not let go, and they refuse to return. Every time a child of God, their sin is mentioned in a message, their sin is preached upon, and they walk out that door angry, they have increased their backsliding, they have turned their back against God. And they have said, I refuse. I refuse to return. You're in danger. You're headed down a road of ruin and destruction. In order to return, there must be a personal recognition that we have sinned. He mentions this in verse 1. He says, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Notice two words in that phrase. Thou, that's personal. And thine, that's personal. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. He is telling them, the reason you are in the mess that you are in is because you have sinned. Is because you have sinned against God. It's easy to cast blame. It's easy to try to find reasons outside of ourselves. But the Word of God says, thou hast fallen by thine own iniquity. There has to be a personal recognition of sin. And there must also be a personal recognition. Once we recognize, I have fallen by my own sin. We also must recognize that there is no help other than the Lord. Verse 3, Asher shall not save us. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. In other words, our horses aren't going to save us. The only one that can save us, the only one that can make us better, is Lord. And we have to come to that realization. So there has to be a recognition. There has to be a recognition of sin. There has to be a recognition that only God can help you. And then in order to return, there must be confession. Notice his advice in verse 2, or his instruction. He says, take with you words. He's told them their condition. Their condition is this: thou hast fallen by thine own iniquity. Now here's what I want you to do. Take with you words. And those words are explained later. We read, and say unto him, take with you words, and say unto him. In other words, these are the words that you're to speak. Take away. Take away all iniquity. And that gets back to thine iniquity. Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Lord, take away all my sin. And there's also a realization that you deserve nothing. And receive us graciously. It is one who confesses his sin. It is one who does not have any plea other than the grace of God. And then we have turn to the Lord there in the beginning of verse 2, which is repentance, which is a change of masters, a change of motives, a change of manners, a change of mind. And unless there has been a change of masters, unless there has been a change of motives, unless there has been a change of manners and mind, you haven't repented. There has to be a change. And then we leave those things and we turn to the Lord. And then notice what God says He will do. If you will do this, I will heal. Verse 4, they're backsliding. I'll heal you. I'll make you whole. There's also a promise of His love. I will love them freely. That's the only way God can love a sinner, is freely, because you and I have nothing to offer. There is the promise of mercy. Mine anger is turned away from Him. What a joy when you feel the anger of God is turned away from you. Some are so hardened in sin they don't even feel the anger of God, nor do they care. There is the promise of blessing. In verse 5, He says, I will be as the dew unto Israel. That speaks of the regular blessings of God. I will be as the dew unto Israel. It speaks of growth. It speaks of abundance. And again, it's the dew. It's regular. He shall grow as the lily. Matthew 6, 28 and 29, Jesus calls our attention to the lily. And He said, Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. What this is saying is that God will bring beauty into your life and cast forth His roots as Lebanon. Speaks of growth again. His branches shall spread and His beauty shall be as the olive tree and His smell as Lebanon. Again, there will be strength and there will be beauty when you return. It's not a pretty picture when you and I backslide from the Lord. It's not a pretty sight. It's a miserable individual. The Lord says, if you'll return, I'll heal your backsliding. I'll bless you on a regular basis. And I'll bring beauty back to your life. Remember Naomi? When she returned, the people looked at her and said, is this Naomi? Sin had cost her dearly. She wasn't even recognizable. God began to put their lives back together. And then notice in closing, the determination, once we have returned, Ephraim shall say, it is after all these things are done, what have I to do anymore with idols? What have I have to do anymore with my old life? What have I had to do anymore with those old sins? I don't want anything to do with them. I want to get as far away as possible. And that's what the backslider who is healed, that will be their attitude. They no longer want to hold on. When people come and they argue on whether or not they can hold on to this or hold on to this, they're not right with God. When God heals you of your backsliding, you don't want anything to do with those things. You don't try to defend those things. You don't try to defend that way of life. You just want to get away from it. That's a sign that God has revived. That's a sign that God has healed. The backslidden in heart. And then notice in verse 9, who is wise and he shall understand these things.
There's many things that the backslider
does not understand. That's one of their favorite lines. You don't understand. No, they don't understand. Because they wouldn't remain in that condition if they understood. And then it goes on to say, the ways of the Lord are right. That's always so. The ways of God are right. And when you turn your back to the ways of God, I don't care in what area of your life you do it, you're wrong. Because the ways of the Lord are right. It's heartbreaking to see people go, start heading down a road. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. All you have to do is read the Word of God. And they've just started out on that road. Unless God intervenes, unless they return, we know where that road's going to end. It's going to end in ruin. It's going to end in destruction. And it's heartbreaking when the one who begins to head down that road thinks that the people of God, that the preacher or whoever tries to correct them is the enemy. It's sad. Those are the best friends you got. And you turn your back and you continue down that road. I've seen moms and dads do it many times. I've seen teenagers do it many times. I've seen many people ruin their lives going down that road. And I know that I would have ruined my life many, 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 many times. God has prevented me from going too far. Listen to the voice of God. When you start heading down that road, listen, pay attention to the voice of God. When God says stop, you would be wise to stop. This is why we need to examine our lives throughout a day, and this is why at the end of every single day we need to take some inventory and examine our lives and repent where we've done wrong so that we do not increase in backslidings. Because we will backslide. Every one of us will. Every one of us have. So we have to, this has to be a daily thing, a daily returning unto the Lord. And this is what 1 John talks about, confessing our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We may start down that road. We don't have to continue. If we just stop, and I believe if you're a child of God, God will speak. And you know what's right and you know what's wrong. No matter how much you try to defend it, you know if you're a child of God. And you'd better stop right where you are and listen to the voice of God and return unto the Lord. How thankful we ought to be that God is gracious, that God is merciful, and that God receives sinners. Just keep on returning. Just keep on returning to the Lord. And isn't it wonderful that it's possible to return? As long as you've got breath, you can return unto God. Little Larry, if you'd come and lead.